Our gospel reading this morning comes from the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, beginning with the second verse. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to them, and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare the way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is the word of the Lord. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. Like I said, there's a new word on the Advent wreath this day. Joy. But what is it? I mean, what is joy? If you take a Mounds candy bar, you know, those little things that come in two pieces in the wrapper, coconut, some sort of goo all over it so it sticks together, and then chocolate. You drop an almond on top of it, what do you have?
Almond.
An almond joy. So does that mean joy is a little nut? There is a dish detergent called joy. I don't know about you, but I don't know that I've ever experienced joy at the dish sink. There is satisfaction after the work is all done, right? After the dishes are all cleaned up, after everything is put away, after the counters are cleaned, there's satisfaction that everything is back in its place as it should be. It seems to me that joy in this season of Advent, though, is about promises that have been fulfilled and the prospect that into the future promises will be fulfilled. There is a simple phrase that sometimes is used in the liturgy for Holy Communion. Truth is, we don't use it very often here at Trinity. But the phrase is this: the congregation says together, "Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again." Three simple phrases together forming a confession of faith meant to carry us through this moment in time toward a future which is secure in God's hands. The phrase is a promise that whatever our current situation is, God has us. That we are firmly in God's grip. It's an invitation to physically sink into God's hands and rest there in that promise. So I got to tell you, when I think about that, I see or sense or feel physically dropping into maybe a soft bed with clean flannel sheets where you are just wrapped in warmth and love. Or a sense of falling into these God-sized hands and its comfort and care. There, held safely and securely, and in the midst of that, joy begins to well up in the midst of our very being. So think with me about our scripture that's before us today. We've talked in the past that Isaiah is writing to a conquered people. Babylon had come into the promised land, had defeated the Israelites, had destroyed the temple, which was really a big deal because in that day the temple was the one place on earth where they believed that God resided. And so now the temple is destroyed and the people have been gathered together and marched for hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of miles from Israel to Babylon. And I can hear in the midst of those people questions that begin to well up like, can there ever be joy again? Will we ever return home? Then a word comes. A word to a group of people who might be on the brink of losing hope. Isaiah writes, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance and terrible recompense. He will come and save you. I can only imagine what it must have been like for the chosen people living there in captivity in Babylon. I would think that if any who had made the journey were still alive, they remembered the journey, and if there weren't any who were alive, the stories would still be alive. What that journey was like after having their country defeated and decimated, being rounded up and marched across these miles and miles and miles for days. Hopeless, wondering if they can make another day. Will there be food to eat? Will there be water to drink? I can only imagine that they have carried on and told to the next generation the difficulty of that journey. So in the beginning, it might not be a powerfully positive word that you're going to have a journey back. Because if you've heard nothing except the stories of the difficulty of the journey from Israel to bondage in Babylon, are you going to look forward to that journey back? But God's word is a word of incredible promise in the midst of whatever is in front of them. Where desert will break forth in water, where there will be reeds and rushes, where the way home will be so clear. And I love this line in the text from Isaiah. It will be so clear that even the fool won't get lost. Joy begins to well up in the midst of the vision of this text that God has this, that God is about to act, and that God can be trusted. When we are living in the moment of something, it's not always easy to sense what God is up to. As I read the words from the gospel, I sense deep angst in John the Baptist's life. Remember, we heard from John last week from the third chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, but it was a very different sounding John. It was a John who had a fire in his belly and fiery words on his lips. He looked at this crowd of people who was coming out into the wilderness to see him, and what did he call them? A brood of vipers. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And I can just see a long, thin, crooked, pointy finger waving at them. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? This is John, who before he was ever born was appointed as the one who would prepare the way for the Messiah, the chosen one, the one who is to restore the Davidic line, who was to bring back the glory of Israel from all the way back before the time that Babylon came in and destroyed the people of the day. And here he is now, sitting alone in prison. I hear angst in the words that are written in Matthew as he wonders whether or not he has placed his trust in the right one. As he begins to wonder if this Jesus is really the Messiah who is to come, did I miss God's call? Did I not hear God's direction right? Did I mess this up? And so he sends word by some of his disciples to Jesus to ask that question. Are you the one? Or are we supposed to wait for another? And it's into this angst that Jesus speaks. Not a yes, not a no. Instead, he points to what is happening. Hear those words again from Matthew. As Jesus says, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. Jesus points to what the kingdom of heaven looks like as his answer to John. It looks like wholeness and restoration, a new possibility and new life. So where does joy come from? Well, not from the seasonal parties and packages, cheese balls and Chex Mix. Now let me be clear, there's nothing wrong with those things. Holiday frivolity is all fine and dandy. But there's more. There is much more. There's the promise that comes from this one, this promised one, Son of God, long awaited, long promised, and so we wait with John and all the others who wonder this day. We wait. And as we wait, we trust in God's promises, sitting quietly in a receptive posture in God's loving embrace. And there, joy begins to well in the pit of our stomach, in the heart of our being, as we look around us and we see glimpses of the kingdom of God. The hungry are fed, the lonely are engaged in relationships, the poor are cared for, the sick are tended to, all of that happening in our midst and sometimes through our very hands. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. May the deepest joy of this Advent season, this season of waiting, begin to well up in your very being. Thanks be to God. Amen.